amazing pasta. And Julie, there's Maria. And let's do a story. First time I met you.
You can, if you want.
Oh. So the first time I met Andrew, I was... Oh, hang on, before I do my story, this Sunday, well see, I'm British, so my dates are all mixed up, guys, but this Sunday is Mother's Day! And so, any of the mums, we have a special gift for you. If you're a mum, please raise your hand so we can see where you are.
So we don't insult you.
Yeah.
I think you know.
We can tell two mummies already. Can't pretend you're a mum. Any other mums? There's a mum at the back as well. Yeah, there's a mum at the back. There's a mum over here. Happy Mother's Day. We love all our mums.
Yes.
There's one at the back, at the door. She's at the door.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. Watch us enough. It's great.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I can't think of a story.
That's fine. That's, okay. That's fine. You have to.
Yeah. Okay. So whilst we finish giving our story, I'm going to hand over to Andrew. So give a little clap.
That's great. Thank you, Monica. Thank you so much, Monica. Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Someone's asleep beside you. Give them a gentle nudge. I just need to give myself a bit more juice. That's a bit better. All right. We are going to talk about Jesus over the next few weeks. It's Kelsey Priest. And we're going to kind of focus on who he was from a bunch of different aspects. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus, the ultimate leadership guru. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus as the socialist, Jesus as the conservative, Jesus as the liberal, Jesus as the feminist. It should be really good. We've got some really good stuff brewing. So we're going to kind of kick it off today, and that's going to be nice and easy. We're going to ease into this series. But I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to inspire some discussion, particularly in our small groups. We're a small group-based church, so we meet here on Sundays, but most of our church... if they have to make one meeting during the week, they'll actually won't come to this meeting. They'll come to a small group during the week, which is just like a bunch of people getting together, usually at a house or a cafe or a restaurant or a pub or something. And we just kind of talk about what God's saying to us and what we're learning about and pray for one another, encourage each other. It's a lot of fun. Who's actually in a small group? I know some of the SM kids are. Cool. Okay. If you want more info about that, let us know. Anyone can join a small group. Okay, and you need to grab your Bibles or your digital devices. Again, we're going to have it up here, but it's nice for you to read it. We love the little ones. Okay, Jesus, the leadership guru. Let's read in Luke 9, starting at verse 46. An argument started amongst the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest." Again, it is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest. Jesus at this time is predicting his death for the second time. So Jesus is in like downer mode, and his disciples all around him are like, "Well, he's going, so who's going to take over? I'm taking over." I just love how the disciples typify humanity and some of my worst qualities sometimes when I look at them. And in this moment where Jesus is like again predicting his death the second time, they're like, he's predicting his death over here. One of them hears about it and he's like, "By the way, I'm taking over." And they start arguing amongst them who's going to be the greatest. I think it's hysterical. And Jesus, rather than even ranking them or entering into any kind of discussion along those lines, he just pulls a child. Again, children aren't really respected to the same degree that they are the prized in our culture, right? We idolize children, we idolize childhood and adolescence. It wasn't like that. And so Jesus pulling a child in and saying, "Welcome a little child, give time to a child, basically give of yourself, serve. And if you want to be first, be last. If you want to be greatest, you need to be the least." It's told a little bit differently in Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, it says, "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all.'" I hate that verse. Anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. It's interesting that Mark adds this like really specific element that you have to be the servant of all, being a servant, having the heart of a servant. In fact, that's how we become first. Okay, so let's talk about practical servanthood. Practical servanthood, it's not the idealistic and elaborate, like Mother Teresa-esque servanthood. You know, sometimes we think of the word servanthood and we think, I need to be working for a nonprofit organization, I need to be in missions, or I need to be, and I don't think the Lord has called all of us to that level or to that specific, service. In fact, servanthood starts where you are. It starts in your home. So, it starts with those around us. It starts with, your family, which is one of the most difficult places it is to be a Christian sometimes. I often say that, particularly, if you're living at home or you just have some interaction with your family. Sometimes it's really difficult to love your family, right? Because they've known you since you were, not, and they know all your buttons, all your sin issues, and they know how to push them, right? Regularly. We were at a family barbecue yesterday, Sarah and me, and it's just incredible seeing all my family again and seeing, just being back in that environment, all this stuff that, I thought was dead and gone starts coming to the surface, and I'm like, I hate all these people for so many reasons. Another place, if you don't really live with your family, another place is your roommates. That's a really difficult place to live in servanthood, to live with this adage that Jesus talked about, where it is being a servant of all. If you want to be first. Before I got married, I lived with three, sometimes four, sometimes five of my best friends. And all us guys lived together in a house. Now, you know where the punchline is when you put five guys in a house together, right? The house becomes, very quickly a sty. It was ridiculous. And one of the places where it became really bad was the bathroom. And the other place where it became really bad was the kitchen. And it always came down to the dishes. We would come up with, we'd have, family meetings in our house. And we'd all agree. We'd, sign a contract. We'd agree to, schedules. I'm going to do the dishes on Tuesdays. You're going to do the dishes on Wednesdays. And then that didn't work. So then we changed that. And we said, okay, when you use a dish, just wash the dish. You have cereal, and just before you run out, just run it under some water, a little soap, toss it in the drying rack. That was our new rule. It didn't work. And then we all started dating people, and so then it was invite your girlfriend over and have her do the dishes. And that worked for a bit. That worked for a bit, but then it didn't. Then eventually they caught on, and they started inviting us to their place. They would come over our place after a while. Because they would come over, and we would have a meal together, and there'd be 7 days worth of other dishes that they would have to scrape the gunk off of, dry ketchup and stuff. living with my roommates, I had one particularly frustrating afternoon that I remember. I got home from work and I wanted to make dinner, and I really like to cook, and I like to cook for people, especially groups of people. I think that's just one, it's a gift. I think hospitality is something that we're supposed to work on. The Bible says you're supposed to cultivate hospitality and serve each other, and that's just one of the ways that I love to serve and love people, show my love for people. So anyway, got home late one day, and I was gonna make a meal for a few of my friends. And the kitchen was a complete disaster. It was absurd. When people can't use pots anymore because all the pots are dirty and within one another and stuck together. And so then they start using things like a cookie sheet on the stove to cook a meal, to make eggs. It was that bad. And even they were there now with dried egg on their cookie sheets. It was bad, it was really bad. All the silverware had been used. The people were using those salad spoons to eat cereal, big salad spoons, because nobody wanted the dishes. It was one of those breaking points where we're all I'm not doing it. I'm not gonna do it. No, everyone was at that point. Anyway, so I get home that day and I'm frustrated. I want to make a meal, and I'm like, okay, I'll start doing the dishes. So and as I'm doing the dishes, I'm grumbling, complaining, and I hear the voice of God, and it's not the audible voice, just that whisper sometimes that if we don't pay attention, we can miss it. And so I hear that voice whispering in the moment as I'm grumbling, doing all these dishes, right? And he's like, Andrew, this is I love this. He's like, and you're doing just what I did for you. This makes me so happy. And this brings you so much closer to me. This is so much my character and my nature. And so I was sitting there doing the dishes, I'm crying. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You wash my dishes, Jesus. And yet for me, that was such an incredible moment because I recognize, he said some other things to me, which were really good as well. One of the other things he said to me, kind of as a side note, was Andrew, this is pure preparation for marriage, by the way. I'm like, whoa, really? He's like, yeah, you know, you learning to die to yourself right now is good prep for once you get married, son. I was like, okay, cool. I need to get better at that because there's still a lot of me that needs to die. But living in that heart of servanthood, particularly when it's hard with people like our roommates or with our family, that's where it really counts. Because that's where it hurts the most. Right? That's where we want to be just and be like, well, it's not my day to do the dishes. Right? And these dishes have been piling up for 3 days. And I've been doing the wash the dish after you use it thing. And they haven't, you know? There's dried egg on the cookie sheets. And that's not me. But in those moments, justice doesn't get anything done. Right? And actually living in servanthood actually did much more for me than it did for anybody else. And man, was it hard. And then another place where it's difficult to be practical with our servanthood is with our workmates. With my time, you know, when people at work ask you to do favors for their jobs? This happens all the time, you know, at school. You're heading down. Could you do photocopy these for me? Okay, that's fine. Can you make 60? 60 packages of 5. That's like, I'm standing at the photocopier, you know, for like 15 minutes sweating, you know? Okay, all right, I'll do that. And I keep having these opportunities where I'm tested. My patience and my servanthood attitude is tested. And I could just easily be like, you know what, I don't have time for that, I'm sorry. You know, be on my way, be very professional, and yet, you know, in my workplace where it's difficult, God keeps challenging me. He's like, be a servant. At home, you know, Sarah and I live in constant bliss. There's never any tension between us or frustration. But there was this one time, shortly after we got married, where it's so funny how the little things, isn't it just the little things? We all have our little things, and Sarah will be gracious in letting me say this. But Sarah has a problem with toilet paper. In that, she'll be using toilet paper. And you know when you're approaching the end of the roll, you know this. When you're like, there's one pull left, and then it'll be like the and it'll just be like the roll left. You know what I'm talking about? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Hello, have you never used toilet paper? Yes. Okay, there's no response. So Sarah will often leave. It just happens to happen. I mean, I'm not saying you're doing it intentionally. Yeah, it's not done. She'll leave it so that there's like that half a square that if you pull on it, then it's just like, you just get like the, you know, the remnants of a thing left. She'll often do that. And it's frustrating, you know, when you get in the bathroom and you don't notice, and then you start doing your things you need to do in the bathroom, and then you're looking to toilet paper and there's none there. And then, of course, there's none in the bathroom, so we stockpile toilet paper because I have a bit of an issue. But it's all in our spare room, so then I'm like, you know, walking to the spirit room just to get toilet paper. And it's so funny how, like, as I'm telling you this, it seems so petty. You guys are sitting there like, Andrew, you're a jerk. Why can't you just walk to the room and get the flipping toilet paper? But in the moment, you don't understand. We've talked about it, and she's agreed that she's going to change toilet paper. She's going to change the toilet roll. And in the moment, I'm furious, right? And sometimes I'm like, well, I'm going to use tissues, and I'm going to leave the roll, and I'm going to show her. And inevitably, I'll come to the bathroom the next day, and it's still there. I'm like, do you not use any toilet paper today? So servanthood really starts where it hurts most. Inevitably, that's where you live. It's in the midst of your like daily routine. Okay, Matthew 20, starting at verse 25 says, Jesus is saying, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. It shouldn't be this way with us. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's think about this culturally. I mean, we live in a democratic society, so it's difficult for us to kind of really grasp this, but imagine we lived in Libya. You know, if we lived in Libya and grown up in Libya right now, this would make a lot more sense, having a dictator. Because, you know, the Romans ruled over where they were. Now, so Jesus is saying to people who are ruled by a dictator, don't be like that dictatorial society. Don't think in that way. Don't think in terms of, I'm going to be your lord, I'm going to be your king, and I'm going to rule you. And in fact, the Israelites had a history of kings that totally took advantage of their power. And he's saying, there's a whole new way of thinking about leadership that I'm introducing here. Completely new version of leadership. Rather than that dictator style of leadership, instead become the least. That would have been very revolutionary. I want you to imagine that for a moment. Imagine how revolutionary it would have been for him to say that cultural standard that we're all used to of a dictator or a leader, a Caesar, ruling over us. Don't aim by any means to be that type of leader. aim to be a complete, I want to redefine what leadership means in terms of God's heart. And so it's very revolutionary. And so this is where it gets painful, because I think sometimes we get really idealistic and we think that servanthood is, you know, this martyrdom thing. We think that servanthood is me, again, going to some foreign nation or doing something glamorous, and that level of servanthood that later people hear about and they write books about me, that level of servanthood, that's what we should all aspire to. But in fact, servanthood really, really, really matters where it's most painful, and usually it's most painful where it's least glamorous. Again, at home, at work, with those people you see all the time. That's where it hurts the most. Mother Teresa once was quoted as saying, many people come to me asking, I'm just paraphrasing it now, many people come to me asking to be part of my mission, asking to be given a similar mission to me. And she says, go home and love the people in your community. Her heart wasn't, I'm not glamorous. This is not glamorous by being here. Go home. If you want to really be Christ, serve there. Be that kind of leader. And so ultimately, service comes out of like his love. It's a response to him. Because if not, then it's just another religious ritual that we're trying to go through. So I know I'm talking about it, and there is a level of difficulty associated with it. But it's difficulty that's motivated by, or that we get through by his love. Right? Because if not, then it's just another religious thing. It's just another ritual that's meaningless. But if his heart in us, if his love in us is inspiring us to die to ourselves and wash another dish for our silly roommates, then it'll bear a lot of fruit in our lives. Selah. Second Corinthians 5:14 says that Christ's love compels me. And it's in those moments when I don't want to change the toilet roll, or, you know, I don't want to make the photocopies for that person at work, or, you know, I don't want to let a car in on the road. You know, these silly little things. All those little things, they all add up to a life of servanthood. Servanthood isn't getting on a plane and going to a foreign nation. Servanthood is all those little tiny painful decisions we make every single day. Every time we say yes, we partner with his heart. Every time we say yes, we're agreeing with him. In the little things that nobody sees. Okay, before you fall asleep, I'm just going to finish with this. We're going to finish with a story because the story is good. John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. This is so key right here. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, because of those things, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Then the story goes on. But there's two really key things I want to touch on in this. The first is that Jesus was aware that the Father had put all things under his power. And the second is that Jesus knew he was linked to the Father and was going back to him. So, I mean, like, there's lots that has been said about this passage, you know, about Jesus taking the position of the lowest servant in the house, and the fact that this is like sub-Saharan, you know, weather, and so there are lots of donkeys and horses and their excrement that are on the ground, and they're walking around in sandals and sweaty, disgusting feet. You can imagine being the one to wash the feet would not be the prized position in the house. Yes? 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 Are you guys awake? Yes. So there's been lots that's been said about that, about Jesus taking that position, but that's not really what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on the fact that is that Jesus knew two things. The first is he knew he was powerful, and the second is that he knew he was loved. Because if we've got those two things down, then servanthood's really easy. Because if he didn't have those two things down, it would have been easy for Jesus to be like, I'm washing their feet. What if they think now that I'm less than them? I mean, it's Jesus. But he could have been like, you know, insecure and being like, I'm washing their feet. What if they think now that I'm like their servant and they're my Jesus now? Are they going to get mixed up by this? Are they going to not respect me now if I start doing this? But having been secure in the fact that he had all power, who's powerful, and that he's connected to the Father and loved, he's like, no problem, because I don't care what you guys think, and I really love you. So I can be humble, I can be the lowest person in this room, I can get down and take the position of the lowest servant, take off your stinky sandals, wash your feet, such a picture of humility. I can be humble and never feel insecure. Because I'm totally secure. I'm powerful, right? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he knew that he was loved. He was connected to God and going right back to him. So for us, two big keys that we need to bear in mind are that, firstly, we are loved, and secondly, we are powerful. So I want you to say these two things. Say, I am loved.
I am loved.
Say, I am powerful.
I am powerful.
Okay, now state it again, and I want you to interact with yourself. Sometimes this call and answer thing that we do becomes by rote. That's okay. I apologize. Sometimes we do that. And I tell you to say things, and you say things right back to me, and you don't even really know what they are. I could be saying, I'm going to give Andrew all my money. And inevitably, some people will say it, right? Don't say that. That's not what we're about. But I want you to like interact with what you're saying. So I want you to make it like a confession of your heart rather than just something that your lips speak back to me to appease me so I don't call you up here to use the microphone or something. So, say it again from your heart. I am loved.
I am powerful.
Try it again. I am loved. And I am powerful. So, if we know these two things, this is like Jesus's leadership style. If we're like secure in these two things, guys, then we can serve anyone at any time. Because then I can go and I can wash my roommate's dishes, and they might be thankful. They might make the same mistakes again and again and again. But I know that I'm really powerful. And with that power, in fact, what I'm doing is I'm serving people and I'm loving people. So you're really powerful. Did you know that? You are very, very powerful. In the same way that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his feet, the same is true of you because you're connected to Jesus. His power he's given to you. So actually, you have all power, and you have all respect, and you have all authority, because it's all his. It's been given to you as part of his body. You know, we're the little cells in his body. It's all been given to you. So you're powerful. So there is no point where you cannot be not powerful. And you're totally loved. You're connected to him. You're going back to him. Stand up for me for a moment. What I'd like you to do is I want you to think about one of these areas that I've talked about where servanthood is challenging. Now, let me tell you for a moment what servanthood is not. Servanthood is not releasing other people of their responsibilities. Because, you know, the Bible makes it clear that basically every top needs to stand on its own bottom. We all need to be responsible for ourselves. Because if I take on too much false responsibility, then, you know, I'm dishonoring Sarah, for instance. You know, but changing the toilet paper roll is not taking on too much false responsibility. So Think for a moment about some of these areas where like servanthood is difficult for you, where it's like a real challenge. And it's probably one of those key areas I've talked about. You know, with your roommates, with your spouse or family. Maybe it's at work. And what we're going to do is we're going to invite God to speak to us and remind us that we're really powerful and that we're loved. Because whenever I'm having difficulty serving, I realize I have to come back to one of those two key things. Oh God, I'm not feeling really loved this week. Or man, at work I do not feel powerful. God, I need your perspective because it doesn't change. Just because I feel not powerful doesn't mean I'm not. So God, I need your perspective again because if I'm powerful, then I can make a million photocopies. I can give my time. Okay, close your eyes for a sec. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus' model of leadership. And I thank you that he was challenging us to adopt something that's very revolutionary. And even still, it's very revolutionary. And Lord, right now I ask for each person that you would come and you would restore and strengthen and empower us with your love. Secure us in your love. Secure us in the fact that there's nothing we can do to make you love us anymore. And there's nothing that we can do that will make you love us any less. We are the object of your affection. You are crazy about us. We are the apple of your eye. You count the hairs on our head. You are our stalker. You are so intimately acquainted with every aspect of our lives, and nothing will change that. And you decide to love us. Take a moment and just receive love. And God, I thank you that we're powerful. And some of us work in environments where we feel really not powerful, or we live in environments where we feel really not powerful. But the truth is, Father, that in you, we've got all the power we need. Jesus, you said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Because we're your body, we get to share in that. And so, Father, I ask that you come right now and restore honor to each person. Restore power to each heart. Reconnect us. Remind us that, wait, I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to the source of all authority. So it doesn't matter what people think of me. That's not going to change who I am. That's not going to change my power and my authority. And Father, out of that love, in response to that love, and in response to that awareness of who we are in you, that power, God, cause us to be the servants of all. You know, cause us to be what Jesus said, to be the least, and to take the positions of serving and loving the people around us and demonstrating your love. Father, I speak a release of grace right now on each person. Grace, 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 grace. Take a moment and just receive grace. Lord, I thank you for grace that's just falling on every person. Grace is like oil in an engine. It just causes everything to run smoothly. And without your grace, man, we cannot get anything done. Father, come. Let your grace come again. Let it refresh us. Let it cleanse us, God. Let us never respond in servanthood out of some ritualistic idea. Let it be a true response to who you are and who we are. And Father, I pray you'd heal every heart where people, God, have been pushed into areas of servanthood that have been unhealthy or have not been based in love. Come right now. Heal people's hearts. And instead of disempowering us, God, empower us again. Empower us, Lord, because our choices are powerful. Our prayers are powerful. Our words are powerful. And so again, Dad, empower us in you to use that power and really to bring life to the people around us and the circumstances around us. And Lord, through our servanthood, help us to demonstrate you, who you really are. I know, Father, sometimes the church has not been known for this, but help us, Lord, to model your heart to this world, to model your heart to the people around us as kind, as loving, as humble, as secure. And Father, I pray that you bless every mom here today, and you bless the moms of the people who are here today. Father, cause us to be people who really honor our parents, even when it's difficult to do so. Cause us to have honor and a heart of servanthood towards our parents as well, Benny. Out of love, out of knowing that we're powerful in you, God, help us to love them and honor them and bless them. And Lord, bless any person here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hug a few people beside you. And if some people want to come up here and serve and help us tear down, that'd be great. Bless you guys.